Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KMOX is at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline. Now, here's your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. And it's a tough act to follow, just like always, when I have to follow you. Folks, welcome to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly, but right now you can call 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 with your questions, comments, or concerns. And thanks for having me on your show. You can give a call. We can talk about plant selection. Basically, anytime things start showing up at the garden centers, whether it be trees, shrubs, lawn, sod, you know, all that kind of stuff, you pretty much can go ahead and get them planted. So that's not always going to be necessarily the case, but for the most part, that's a pretty good rule to use. So let's say you like the summer bulbs. So in other words, the elephant ears and the cannas and things like that. I don't know if they're at the garden centers yet, but I have a bunch that I've been growing for years, and I pull them out of the pots and take them in the basement. So I haven't put those back in the pots yet. I'm going to wait till it gets just a little bit warmer because they're not going to do any growing anyway. How about your ground covers? How are they looking? Let's say your ivies and things like that. Maybe some of that winter chill in January caused your ivy to have some tip burn. So set your mower high and you can cut it, kind of make it a little bit more uniform. Your perennials, your roses, your trees, your shrubs, your vines, your water gardens. I'll share my thoughts. And please remember, my answers, comments, and opinions is certainly not the only garden path to take, but for you simply to consider. Greg is producing today, and when you call, he'll ask for your name and where you're calling from, and then he'll put you up on the computer screen, and I just start at the top and work my way down. So what's going on in your yard? Well, if you can't quite figure out what's going on, why not have me come over and do what I call a walk and talk? So in other words, it's a site visit to your home. You have a list of questions that we work our way through, and also we take a look at other things that maybe you haven't considered. That one of the houses I was at this past Wednesday, they always said, well, water always sits in this part of the yard. And then what I did is, it was a little bit low. It wasn't drastically low, but I wonder why water went to that spot. It was on a little bit of a slope. But then I looked up and saw where the downspouts from their gutters were going, and water was shooting straight out of the downspout, you know, and the nose of the downspout right to the spot where they have water to settle. So that's the kind of stuff I keep my eyes open for as well. So you can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com. The homepage will have my email address and phone number, and you can contact me and we can set up a time. Now, the special recognition, that's the tip of the trowel for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me is brought to you by St. Louis Composting. Today's tip of the trowel, St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Today's tip of the trowel goes out to the Webster Groves Herb Society. They're going to welcome spring with their annual herb and plant sale, and that's going to be Saturday, April 21st. The doors open at 8:30 a.m. The First Congregational Church, located at West Lockwood at Elm and Webster Groves. And you can shop the thousands of Missouri and Illinois grown herbs and vegetables that will be available. There are also going to be useful tips, demonstrations as well, and tasty treats and recipes to be provided also. Profits from this is going to be used for the community garden outreach programs and scholarships in plant-based studies. So you can visit www.wgherbs.org for plant lists and more information. Also, the second tip of the trowel today goes out to Brightside St. Louis. That's that organization that does so many different things, everything from planting daffodils along the highway to getting rid of graffiti off walls and buildings and everything else. But they have a wonderful site, physical site, as well as a great website, Brightside STL or brightsidestl.org. But their location is on Kings Highway at Southwest. The demonstration garden there, they teach classes there. It is Brightside St. Louis is just one of the great things here in the metropolitan area. And even, regardless of where you live, you should go by and just check it out. I mean, It's just an amazing place. Not only what they do, but what they offer as well. They offer plant material for, you know, let's say for public areas, if you're, let's say, community oriented. So right now what they have is a Blitz, Bloom, and More. So Operation Brightside, Brightside St. Louis, just put that in and you're going to find it and find out what a great organization that actually is. So those are the two tip of the trails, Webster Groves Herb Society and Brightside St. Louis. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, questions, concerns, or comments, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Heading to Mount Vernon, and we're going into Carl's yard. Hi, Carl.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, we have hosta beds, mm-hmm. and they got a mulch over them. The hostas haven't started to show up yet. Would it hurt to use preen in those beds before they emerge?
No, because preen only kills grass seed. It will not kill perennials that are coming back up from the root system.
Okay. Well, I heard you say the seed, but I just want to make sure before I went out and did something to my hostas.
So it sounds like you enjoy your hostas.
We do. We've got a lot of hostas, and we always look forward to them. So it's big and lush, and the more the merrier.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And some of the varieties are huge as far as the leaf and the color, some of the blue grays and things like that. It's a very diverse group of plants. So thanks, Carl. And now let's go to Imperial, Missouri, and that's where Ross lives. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Mike. Last spring I planted a cabaret Japanese silver grass, and it did well. It grew to about 4 feet, and of course over the winter it is a brown dormant color
right
now. I was wondering if I need to do anything, and when is the best time to do that? I know somebody told me that they burn theirs to the ground in early spring. What would you recommend, and when would you do that?
Now, this is just a clump, right? Or is this?
Yes.
Okay. Basically, what I would do is just go out there with, take some bungee cords, wrap it up, and just about 6 inches off the ground, I would just cut it.
Okay.
So that way you get rid of all that debris and everything else, because it's probably already shattering. You might have blades all over the place in your landscape.
Started. Right.
Yeah. So
when is the best time to do that, though?
Anytime when we're, let's say, past winter. So I say sometime after Valentine's Day, even though there might be cold spells and everything else. And this is probably a variety that ultimately you're not going to, let's say the center of the plant is going to not have the ability to produce any more grass blades. It's going to be on the perimeter only, but you don't need to worry about that yet.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Yep. Good luck with that. Yeah. All the ornamental grasses. There's somebody down the street from me that, they have some maiden grass, some miscanthus. I wish they would cut that stuff down because it's starting to get all over the place. Now, luckily, it's not in my yard, but it's getting in the neighbor's yard and other things along that line. Let's go over to Maryville, Illinois. And Laura, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show, Mike. Thanks
sure.
for all the advice you give us. Love that there was a commercial about hot tubs, because this is kind of related to hot tubs. So this past fall, we had a crane in our yard.
Ooh.
Swinging a swim spot over the house. As the crane pulled off, it left pretty significant ruts in the front yard.
Right.
The grass is still alive, but I have a very uneven front yard now and have no idea how to even it out.
Basically, where the ruts are, you're probably going to have to get a rototiller or something along that line and run that in those ruts to loosen that soil up. Even though it looks like the grass is there and everything else, it is going to have a very, very difficult time. It's going to become a weed farm. And if you're into lawns at all, so rototill that area, mix some compost in with it, and then get some either sod for those spaces or some grass seed for those spaces. If you get grass seed, make sure you get a grass, seed starter mix or seed starter fertilizer for that.
Fantastic. Okay, not a problem. And it's probably about the time to start doing that?
Yeah. You don't want to do that when the ground is really wet, because you'll make big lumps. But as soon as the ground gets warm, you got to turn this up, because you cannot do anything else. You can't lay sod into it. You can't put seed in it, because it's still going to have heavy duty compaction and nothing, from a lawn standpoint, or really pretty much anything, is going to have much success there.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thanks so much for your help.
Certainly. And now let's go to Waterloo, Illinois. And Laverne, how are you?
I'm fine this morning. How are you?
Very good.
I have a question about the preen. Is that to be used like now for weeds?
It's a little bit early, but it's, you know, it's all related to the soil temperature and everything else.
Uh-huh.
I would recommend that you go get to, you know, to your favorite garden center and get a soil thermometer. When the soil temperature starts to get 50 degrees or above, that's when the pre-emergence should go down. Or you can just watch for the forsythia, the yellow flowering shrub, spring flowering shrub. When it's in bloom, that's when the pre-emergence should go down.
Well, the plants.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And another question, I have a magnolia tree, and it is, leaves or the branches are coming out very close to the ground since I planted it. And is it a good idea to trim that or just leave it?
It's up to you. It's a personal call. Some of the varieties will have multiple, let's say, trunks. You know, some varieties are grafted. Most of them are not grafted. But if you got, you know, shoots coming off at the base, at the ground, you could cut those off, but just make sure you cut. Don't leave a stub because it just will continue to keep coming back. Just cut it, you know, close, as close to the ground or as close to the trunk as you possibly can, and that's about all you need to do.
Okay, thank you for your information.
Well, thank you, Laverne, and thanks for having me on your show.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Now let's go to South City, and that's where Rich lives. Hi, Rich.
Yeah, Mike, enjoy your program.
Well, thanks.
I got a little problem. It's a minor one. I had a new sidewalk put in. I live on a corner, and it's like a L-shaped corner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had new concrete put in. They put dirt around the edges. My question is, can I put grass seed in there around that so I can get something growing again on the edges of the sidewalk?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I would probably, again, get some organic matter, some compost, mix that in with that existing soil that they put down, because that's probably, it could be subsoil that they dug up. It could be who knows from where or anything else. It's probably not ideal soil for, you know, let's say, long-term growth of lawn. It's just not going to happen. So if you improve it with some compost and things like that before you put the seed down, that's at least going to give you a better chance.
Okay, then. Thank you, Mike.
Yep. And again, for everybody that's putting seed down, lawn-type seed, seed starter fertilizer is something I definitely recommend, you know, doing for the newly germinated seed. So thanks, Rich. And let's see. Now let's go to Edwardsville. That's where I'm headed. Actually, Holiday Shores after the show today. Webb, how are you today?
I'm fine, Mike. Thanks for being on my show.
Well, thank you.
This is a follow-up question. I called you a couple of months ago talking about nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, and nitrogen is what I need. But you also said, and I neglected to ask you, you said that nitrogen doesn't stay in the soil long.
Right.
How long do I wait before I put in a second application? Is this days or months? Or?
Well, nitrogen is really important. So you put it down, the plants grab basically as much as they need for right then. So if you're talking about, you know, bed spaces where you've got annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, or you're talking about lawn, it's going to be a little bit different. But if you just do your fertilizing on a routine basis, that's, you know, let's say once a month or whatever it happens to be, you don't necessarily need to do anything more than normal, because you're not going to have, the plants don't need a constant, let's say, feeding of nitrogen. It's just not what they're going to grab what they need within the few days that it stays in the ground. Then, you know, nitrogen becomes a gas and then it just goes up into the atmosphere.
Okay, well, this is in a garden, and I didn't know whether I should, like, every 3 months, I'm going to put it down before I plant anything.
Right.
And plow it under and water it in.
Right.
And then I'm going to put straw over the top as mulch, and then I'm going to put all my tomatoes and peppers and other things in. But I don't know, should I hit it again if I put that in April? Should I hit it again in, like, July?
No, I'd do it before then. With tomatoes, I'd almost feed every 2 to 3 weeks.
Ah, okay.
And use a tomato food. It'll say it right on the box or right on the package. Don't just use triple 12 or something along that line.
Right. Well, no, what I'm going to put in, since I have excessive phosphorus and potassium, I'm trying to get the nitrogen to balance those two.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put in a 25-5-5.
That's fine. It's might be a little. The reason why I'm saying, you know, with the tomato food, it has calcium, which prevents blossom end rot, which is the black spots on the bottom of tomatoes,
right,
and things along that line. So that's the advantage of using. You know, I don't know the exact numbers on tomato food, but
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate your help.
Yep.
And
good luck with
like
that.
You're having a good time today.
Well, thanks,
bye,
Webb. And now let's go to St. Peter's. Gosh, we're going all over the metro area. Into Darren Jarrett. Hi, Darren.
Hi. First time caller, long time listener.
Great.
I've got a few questions. One, I've got some evergreens leading up to the front porch that have pretty much just taken over. I can hardly get up my steps. Can you cut those back down into small plants again without killing them?
I would say, I don't know how big they are or what specific variety they are, but I would say no. If you cut them too severely, they are just not going to recover.
Okay, what about if I just cut all the greenery off? Will they?
Basically, on the interior, which there's probably no needles or no leaves or anything, down in there, they are probably, you know, depending upon how old they are, those buds that would be potential needles or leaves after you cut all the greenery off are probably dormant, dead. They're not going to do anything, so you're not going to get any new growth out of it.
Okay.
You could try it and then call in and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, to me.
Okay, my next question is, I've got a sweet gum tree in the front yard.
Ooh.
And before I moved in, apparently the owner never did clean them up. I mean, they were buried, and they were just thick as thieves out there.
Right.
Now, the grass, I cannot get any grass. I put seed down. I've tried aerating. Now, is there some kind of chemical that the sweet gum balls put off to deteriorate the soil acidity or whatever it might be that keeps the grass from growing?
Basically, no. What it is the sweet gum tree, depending upon how big it is, or any kind of tree, people always think it's a shade. The shade is somewhat of a factor, but more so important as far as being able to get grass to grow underneath trees is the fact that the tree roots suck up all the nutrients and moisture and everything else. That's why you cannot really grow lawn underneath trees. So it doesn't matter about anything else that you might do. It just doesn't matter. You're not going to have successful lawn.
So there's no chemicals I can put down or anything to get it to? Okay.
Nothing.
All right. Well, I appreciate your answers.
Yep. And, you know, I don't sell anything, so I have no reason to say, you know, do this, you know, because nothing's going to make a difference. Mike Miller, KMYS Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with your host, Mike Miller, on KMOX.
We're headed south on 55 down to Imperial, and we're going into Gary's yard. Hi, Gary.
Hello. I have a couple questions. One, we call it a cherry blossom. I'm not 100% sure what the proper name is, but it might be a simple answer where I trimmed the lower branches a couple of years ago. There's some offshoots coming off of that have got 2 or 3 feet and quite a few of them. I'm just wondering when to trim those.
Basically, you do it. Yeah, you can do it right now if you'd like. And when you make the final cut, just leave a stub of about 1/4 inch. Don't leave a 6-inch stub or anything else, because that will help the wound, let's say, heal over. The cambium layer will be exposed. And also, it should minimize any kind of offshoots that you're experiencing.
Okay. And number two, over the years, off and on, every 2 or 3 years, I get the itch to plant blueberries, and I pretty much kill them every time. I can't get them to do anything. I don't want to be known as the blueberry killer, but is there something that
well, let's put it this way. Blueberries are very, very difficult to grow here. So just our weather and everything else, but blueberries need a highly acidic soil. So in other words, the soil pH, you're going to have to, you know, get a soil sample taken from where you're planning on growing them. The soil pH for blueberries is usually about 5.5. That is very, very acidic. If they don't have that, then they're not going to do well. And you mix that in combination with our weather, and you're doomed.
Okay. So it's not necessarily me.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I've seen one house that had some pretty good success, or one, I can't remember exactly where it was, with blueberries, but still they were nothing like what they really look like where in areas where they grow well. They just don't do it. Right. They don't like it here.
Okay. I think I'll just give up then.
I agree.
Move on to something else. Okay. Thank you.
Certainly. Yeah, it can be very frustrating because you think, okay, now what's going on here? But soil pH has a lot to do with it, but our weather has more to do with it probably than soil pH. St. Peter's, that's Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Go
Hello?
Ahead. Yes.
I have a large pine tree, and I was wondering about the pine needles. Last fall, I kept them raked up constantly, and this spring, I've got an abundance of them again, right. And I don't know if I should keep them raked up or let them accumulate.
The pine needles do nothing wrong to the pine tree. The pine trees actually like them. It actually keeps the soil pH kind of acidic, which is what they want. It acts as a mulch, so you don't have to buy mulch, and so there's no reason to rake them up.
Okay, it seems like this spring, or well, actually last fall, it spread out real far and like killed the grass.
If it gets out into the lawn, it can have something to do with that. But usually the pine needles are not going to go beyond where the branches are. Now, some of them can be blown and things like that. But, you know, there's other probably factors as well, like the pine tree root system that is having more of an impact on your lawn than actually the pine needles on the surface.
Okay. And also, can the pine needles that I rake up be used for mulch?
Depends upon what type of plant. If you're using them around azaleas, hollies, dogwoods, things like that, it's perfect.
Okay.
But if you're using them around lilacs, which want an alkaline soil, they're not so good.
No, this is just evergreens like yews?
They're perfect for that.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Certainly. Thanks, Mary. And now let's go to Crestwood. Pat, how are you today?
I'm just fine. Thank you for your show.
Well, thanks.
I just have a kind of a mystery. I have a Christmas cactus. It's about 6 years old. It's been blooming like late November into December beautifully. I have one flower on it now. How could that be?
You mean... You already had the bloom at the, let's say...
In December, right.
Right. Well, it's just, you know, this bud's got a chance to get going, and it went, and so just enjoy the flower. It's only a single flower, and you know what they look like, and so...
I mean, there's nothing wrong with this plant.
No.
I hope.
Not that I know of. It says, Mary or Pat, you deserve another bloom, so I'm going to send a bloom out to you. So it's like somebody giving you, let's say, a single stem plant, like a daisy or a lily or something like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Certainly. Thanks, Pat. And let's go now to Fenton, and that's where Nick lives. Hi, Nick.
How are you doing this morning, sir?
Very good.
So we've had a pre-emergent applied to our lawn. And it's starting to look good, but I'm seeing some clover pop up here and there. What do I do about the clover?
Pre-emergent, depending upon what type of clover there is an annual type clover, but that would have already been germinated. So the clover you're going to have to go after, clover's not an easy weed to kill. Try using like a Weed Be Gone or a broadleaf weed killer, but just realize if you have a big patch of clover, I would have a tendency to... You know, sort of like take a sponge and take Roundup, step on the clover first to open up wounds, and then just dab the clover with Roundup from a sponge that you have just in a bowl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no big patches yet. It's, you know, I'm just seeing some isolated spots, but I want to make sure they don't become large patches.
Right, exactly. Depending, again, there's a perennial-type clover, and, well, there's a couple type of perennials. And there is a one annual-type clover, which would have germinated last August, and it's a cool season clover, so it'll grow all the way through to the point when the temperature starts to get warm, and then it'll just die off on its own. But during that whole time, it's been producing seed for the following year.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. I appreciate that, sir.
Yep. Well, thank you. And that's why, you know, I always advocate putting pre-emergent down twice a year. But, you know, most people don't like that, putting it down in August or early September, because they want to put grass seed out. And you can't really do both of those at the same time. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller, sponsored by Allen's Tree Service on KMOX.
Yes, folks, spring is here. It actually, you know, last week on the 20th, that was the first day of spring. I wish there would be a little more sun, but that's the way it goes. If you do have upright cedar slash junipers in your landscape, the ones that are native, either the birds drop the seeds, you know, the blueberries or whatever, you could expect to possibly see really soon, sometime in April, a really ugly, scary looking orange jelly-like gall blob. And that's going to be what that is part of the cedar apple rust disease scenario. So you get these blobs on the cedars slash junipers, and then they send these spores over to your crab apples, apples, hawthorns, and it causes the foliage to get spots all over it, causes some bloating on the stems of these other trees as well. Now, if you get junipers, if you're going to buy them, just make sure that you get Juniperus chinensis. So in other words, that is a juniper. It looks pretty much the same as our native junipers, but it's from China, and it doesn't get messed up in this cedar apple rust scenario. So don't buy the cedars that are native under any circumstances, because the potential for cedar apple rust is there. Also, Easter lilies. I noticed the snooks I go to down on Gravois and Hampton, Germania, there was a sign there. They had some Easter lilies, but there was a sign saying there had apparently at their production nursery, greenhouse, whatever, had been some problems. So there's going to be a limited amount of Easter lilies available. If you do like Easter lilies, we always get one or two pots of them ourselves. Once they finish blooming, they're a hardy lily, so you can take them outside, shake all the potting mix off of them after you pull them off the pot, and then plant them in the ground a couple inches lower than what they were in the pot. And then you'll have Easter lilies, white lilies, every year. So, but remember, Easter lilies, there may be a limited amount, at least at the, you know, Snooks florist area. Joe lives in Maryville. Joe, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Mike. I've got a couple of these. I'm looking at the tag. I save the tags when I buy these trees. It says Flowering Pear, Cleveland Select.
Right.
Well, I got a half a dozen of them out there, and I noticed on one of them, two of the main branches are straight up. These are the branches straight up. They're starting to split. Now, the tree itself is about 6-7 inches at the soil level diameter, and these branches are about 2 to 3 inches diameter each. So my question is, is there any sense in trying to strap them and hold them together, or should I just cut out the smaller of the two? It looks like they're going to split right down the middle.
Basically, that's one of the problems with the flowering pear trees, whether they're Cleveland Select or any other varieties. Are we talking about where they come down and sort of meet at the trunk? That's where it's splitting?
Yeah, and that split is about 7 foot up from the ground.
Right. So you can cable them together. You can bore holes through these trunks, you know, that are vertical, the ones that are splitting, and, you know, put cable in between them and put washers and nuts and bolts to hold them together. You can strap them if you want to, either way. But yeah, that splitting, ultimately, what the real problem is it'll get worse and worse and worse as time goes on, because water's going to run down these trunks and get into that split and cause it to even, let's say, rot the wood a little bit more, causing more and more and more split.
Well, that's why I was wondering, should I cut the small one off at an angle and maybe put some, who knows what, some goo or something in the split so the water won't get in there? Would that save it?
You could try it, but, taking one of them out, you're still going to have that exposed crack, and I don't know what kind of goo you could use to actually fill in the crack.
Caulk tar?
No, it doesn't work. I mean, days of old, they tried those kind of things, and it doesn't really help all that much. But yeah, you could either just, you know, drill holes, use some straps, and just strap it together. But yeah, this is one of the major problems with that whole tree group. And at this age, it's not too bad, but as it gets, let's say, 5 or 6 years older, that's when the real trouble comes.
Yeah, the old Bradford used
to. Exactly.
One more quick question. I'm out here in the county, so I get to burn leaves. Are these leaf burn ashes good for anything? I mean, are they good to put around trees?
Not that much.
No, so there's no sense in trying to.
No, I mean, there's a little bit of nutrients in, you know, in the leaf, but there's really not too much that it really does. If you want to put it in your soil, that's fine. Don't just use it as a mulch.
No, but just spreading it around at the base of a tree does nothing.
No, not really.
Okay, well, I'll try. I never thought of drilling holes through those branches. But yeah, I'll just drill holes and put some.
Yeah, put a bolt through there with a washer and nut.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Yep. Now let's go to Baldwin, and that's where Nancy lives. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have an old lightning rod from an old neighbor, and I was wondering, does it do any good, and will it cause any fire if I have any wood near it?
Not that I know of.
Oh, good. Okay.
I mean, the chances of a lightning rod being struck is no greater than the top of a tree being struck.
Oh, okay.
So, no, it doesn't, like, sort of like, it's not a magnet for, you know, electricity from, let's say, lightning storms.
Oh, to draw nitrogen or something, so
no.
Forget that idea. Okay. And one other quick question, how long do you have to wait between the pre-emergent and putting down the seed?
Usually about a month.
A month? Oh,
right.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I mean, read on the bag to make sure. Sometimes, depending upon what type it is, it could even be a little bit longer than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, I appreciate your knowledge and help.
Well, sure. And now let's go to South County and to Peggy's yard. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Sure.
What I wanted to know is we've got a red bud that's getting pretty tall. My husband tries to shape it. When's the best time to cut it, and how far can you cut that back?
It all depends on how big it is, but basically you want to see as many flowers as you possibly can. So right after it finishes flowering, that's the best time to prune any spring flowering tree or shrub is when they finish flowering. So you get the advantage of the aesthetics of the flowers.
Okay, so like how far could he trim it back?
How big is it?
It's probably at least, it could be 12 feet tall.
I probably wouldn't cut more than a couple feet off.
Okay.
Because what happens if you cut it too much, then you reduce the amount of leaves, then consequently the leaves are where that's the factory for making food. So with sunlight, it takes up the nutrients and moisture through the vascular system of the veins. They go into the leaves, and then the leaves use sunlight and makes food, and that helps the overall health of the tree or what shrub or whatever it happens to be.
Okay, so if he cuts too much, he's just kind of depleting its food source.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, too, have they come up with any more solutions for that zoysia decline?
They keep experimenting around, and to me, it's just, you know, it's a matter of age and everything else. So I don't know of one, you know, specifically that's going to address that problem.
Okay, so nothing really, a specific thing you could purchase to try and bring it back.
No, but I can probably mix up something in my kitchen and sell it to you for $1 million. And
oh, got it. That kind of, with the trimming, though, with like the, I've got one of those hydrangeas that for blooming, and that's also getting pretty big. So should I do the same thing, wait for it blooming this year, and
when does it bloom?
Spring. It's starting to get buds on it right now.
So the buds probably, if it blooms in the spring, basically prune it right after it finishes flowering. If it blooms in the summer, wait until next, let's say, late winter, early spring, and prune it at that time. So in other words, the ones that bloom in the spring, the buds are already set for the flowers right now. The ones that bloom in the summertime, that's on new growth, and that growth comes the following year.
Okay, yeah, because this past summer I didn't really get hardly any, you know, flowers at all.
Right, so basically stop pruning.
Gotcha. Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Yep.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, and if it's getting too big, you're better off to move it. Frank lives in Chesterfield. Frank, how are you today?
Oh, great. I've got about 6 holly trees from 6 feet to 40 feet, and there's a lot of brown leaves on the end of them. Is that caused by that frost freeze that we had, and will they just drop off and everything will be fine?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. They got wind burn, they got cold burn, and you think, well, it wasn't all that cold, but the broadleaf evergreens, the boxwood, the holly, the azaleas, the euonymus, anything that was a broadleaf evergreen got damaged by that cold spell in January.
Okay, I'll just let them drop off as time comes by.
Right, and then if you need to, because let's say you got 6 or 8 inches that doesn't have any foliage on it, you can go ahead and start pruning that stuff off, or just leave it alone and see what happens.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, and thanks to everybody for calling in. Thanks to Frank. He's the last caller of the day. So a lot of stuff going on in the outdoors. You know, like I said, Cornelian cherry, which is a type of dogwood, not the classic dogwood look, but it's yellow-flowered, small flowers about the size of a marble. They're in flower right now. The magnolias are in flower. So, thank goodness. You know, it's like been, you know, every winter seems to get a little bit longer and longer and longer, at least mentally for me. So, and just get prepared. Get your mowers. Get those mower blades sharpened. So once you start to have to do the mowing, then because a bad mowing blade can just rag the top of the blades that you're cutting off and just makes them much more prone to, guess what, fungus and disease situation. So ask your, if you're having a service, do it. Ask them if they are going ahead and sharpening the mower blades. All that stuff makes a big difference. So Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, I will see you next week.
The voice of the Blues. News Radio 1120 KMOX. KMOX HD St. Louis. 102.5 KEZK. HD3 St. Louis.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.